having those extra officers on the street and out there visible and being available, that has a very positive impact on the crime stats.
New data shows increased Haines PD patrols could be responsible for lower crime statistics, just as the department hires a local man to be the next officer. And Skagway and Haines make changes to improve students' math experiences. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories up next. Haynesboro School District is responding to dropping math scores and lowered interest from students by introducing a 3-year math achievement improvement plan. The new plan aims not only to improve scores, but students' attitudes towards mathematics with the help of district teachers, administration, and 2 consultants from outside of the borough. Cheryl Stickler is the kindergarten through 12th grade principal at the Haynes School. She presented the plan to the Haynes School Board last week.
So right now we're focusing on math because our district-wide, school-wide data says you need to pay attention to math instruction and math achievement here. We're doing well in reading. We're doing well in writing. Yes, we can get better. Yes. And it does look like our scores have plateaued. Fortunately for us, they plateaued in the upper 80, lower 90 percentiles. But that's not the case for math.
According to standards-based assessment and the high school graduation qualifying exam scores from last year, 83% of the district students are proficient in language arts. In comparison, 77% of students district-wide are proficient in math, indicating to school officials a discrepancy that called for action. At last week's meeting, both Stickler and School Board President Carol Kelly acknowledged the challenges embedded in improving math scores, and not just for Haynes.
It's been historic as long as I've been with this district, and I would even go as far as to say as long as I've been teaching in Alaska. Statewide, it tends to be the trend that getting our math scores at the level of reading and writing scores is a challenge statewide.
Nationally.
Right, and nationally.
This week, Stickler provided more explanation on the updated approach to teaching math.
We recognized a need for this plan because of a couple of things. One, our student test scores are demonstrating a concentrated need. Our concentrated instructional focus for math instruction and math achievement. And to take a look at what we're teaching, when we're teaching it, and why we're teaching it. And so all of those things come together in a guiding document we call the curriculum.
She says the need for an updated math plan became obvious not just through test scores, but from parent, student, teacher, and administrator feedback and biannual assessments called progress monitoring.
It's that progress monitoring, conversations with parents about their children's attitudes toward math, how successful they feel at math, input from the teachers, and so that plan addresses that in a strong way.
Last spring, 3 outside reviewers evaluated the school's curriculum in the high school accreditation review. As school officials expected, one of the recommendations was to refresh the coursework.
We were glad to see that suggestion on our plan. So we're in the process now of updating that, and that means that we take a look at what do we teach, and then when do we teach it? Does this happen in 4th grade? Does it happen in 6th grade? What happens between middle school and high school, and how do we help our students transition from our middle school math program into the high school math program? And likewise, how do we help students transition from the elementary program into the middle school program? And so instructionally, those 3 different programs need to come together into one overarching program that meets the students' needs.
Stickler says the new plan addresses that. As part of it, 2 Southeast Alaska math consultants are under contract to, on occasion, teach alongside Haynes teachers and provide feedback and up-to-date education research. And as Kelly added at last week's school board meeting, the idea is right in line with the district's strategic plan.
Well, I'm delighted to see this because math is a strong component of the strategic plan, and that's going to be adopted this spring. And this is definitely something that needs attention. So I'm very pleased to see this.
But test scores aren't everything in education, says Stickler. Some of the troubling math feedback has involved students' attitudes towards math, like a recent letter to the board from a concerned parent of a high school student. The correspondence noted students' frustration with math class and the effects that could have on self-confidence.
And while the majority of our data comes from our test scores and the state-based data system, we also recognize and believe that our student is more than a test score, and so we take a look at the whole learner. which is why we bring in those experts and those consultants. So how do I reach a student who learns in this fashion? How do I integrate that learning modality, that learning style, into what I'm already doing? Is there something I could add? Is there something I can tweak so that I meet that child's specific need?
The plan aims to tie together the school's math curriculum to smooth out those transitions among grade levels and, of course, to improve test scores and attitudes in the math classroom.
It's more difficult to quantify the anecdotal piece, how students feel about math, but we will be providing students with a survey to gauge level of interest in math, comfort with math, how well they feel successful at it. So we're going to send out parent surveys and student surveys, teacher surveys, as well as principal survey once a year. And then through those surveys, we should be able to get some of that more affective piece back. You know, how are we feeling about math?
The program could also lead to changes in textbooks, introduce different ways of testing, or even bring in newer ideas for teaching.
It's not just a matter of learning how to do math. It's learning why it's important, how it works together, that our students understand those concepts, that it's not just a matter of knowing how to add, subtract, multiply, and divide fractions. It's why does it work the way it does, so that those students can take that learning and apply it in different settings.
Skagway School Board and Administration also recently responded to parental concern about the district's math program by allowing 8th graders to now receive high school credit for Algebra 1. Skagway Superintendent Les McCormick.
The board came together on a policy that they felt pretty good about, which allows those students who are of the academic ability to take high school class while in the 8th grade, and if they pass it with a B or better, they could receive high school credit on their transcript early, so that when they enter high school, they are now going into geometry and having their first credit of high school math start in geometry. They now enter high school with a credit, and geometry at the end of their freshman year would be their second credit of math.
Formerly, 8th graders who were sitting in the same algebra class with high school freshmen got their first high school credit in 9th grade geometry.
We have junior high students who are very good at math, very academically gifted. So, you know, let's encourage that ability and promote it as well.
All students will still have sufficient time to earn the district's 3 required math classes. And the board's decision will work retroactively, giving an extra math credit to the current freshman class taking geometry. Year-end data from the Haines Police Department shows decreases in almost every police work category, from alcohol offenses to crimes against property. Alternatively, traffic stops more than doubled from 2008 to 2009. Police Chief Gary Lowe says there are a lot of factors to consider when looking at the mostly downward trends.
It's dangerous to just look at numbers on a chart and make generalizations about it. There are some generalizations that I think we can make. You know, police work in general is reactive. You know, we get a call and we go to it. Traffic stops is a way of being proactive, where we can be out there and make contact with people, inform them of violations, and try and gain voluntary compliance. Well, if you look at the number of traffic stops and then you compare that to, say, vehicle accidents, when your traffic stops are up and you're out there contacting the people, then the number of accidents are about half.
The department went through a lot of staff changes in the past few years, going from 5 to 2 staff members in early 2008 and back up to 5 in 2009.
Generally, the calls coming into us are down some. Say the crimes against persons, the crimes against property, even animal complaints, all of those can be impacted significantly by having a police presence on the road, which we didn't have. You know, being up at full staff and actually having a squad car out there driving around and going through the neighborhood can have a big impact on all of those things.
The department still received more than 8,000 regular calls last year, just more than 300 911 calls, and made almost 40 arrests. The workload and the statistics point to the benefit of a full staff, says Lowe.
I know that there's been some debate about, do you need 5 officers? Well, if you look at the numbers and you compare 5 officers to 2 officers, I think maybe you can make a generality that, you know, having those extra officers on the street and out there visible and being available, that has a very positive impact on the crime stats.
And the department did just fill a patrolman vacancy this week. Lowe says out of almost a dozen applications for the position, a Haines man was hired Monday to go through training and become the next Haines police officer.
I just offered the job yesterday to Simon Ford, who works here in town and has lived here in town for about the last 5 years. You know, I've hired six people for the officer's job since I've been here. Two of the people that I've hired have managed to stay. And everybody that I've hired so far has had police experience, but not a lot of experience in Alaska or in this rural community. So my thoughts were, maybe we need somebody that's used to living in this rural community, and as long as they've got the character and the integrity and the intelligence to do the position, I can train them to be a policeman. And I like Simon's attitude, and I like his enthusiasm. I like that his family's here and in the community. He owns a house. He's got children here. I'm real happy with those.
Ford leaves this month to travel to Sitka for a 16-week training before joining the local force. Reporting for KHNS, this is Tara Bicknell.